Today I'm no, hold on.
He's got a weird hummingbird accent.
Southern Baptist Church. There we go. Today on the Salty Nerd Podcast, we're going to be talking about Nick Cage's Southern accent in Con Air.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
That accent's so bad.
That was terrible.
So was his.
No. So I was talking about Nick Cage's. Yours was pretty good.
Yeah, yours was better.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast. We're talking Con Air. Nick Cage, John Malkovich.
I want my hair to blow every day like his does when he's getting off that plane.
John Cusack
smells that fresh, free air.
Yeah, Commander, what's his name? O'Reilly or something? What's his name?
Miles O'Brien.
Who else we got in this movie?
He was very harsh in this movie.
Oh, he dropped a couple F-bombs. Yes, they were well-deserved, though.
You know what's crazy? Is like the cast for this movie is like top-tier A-list actors.
Yeah.
Bing Rames,
yeah.
Dave Chappelle.
Dude, Danny Trejo.
Malkovich.
Yeah.
Buscemi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The athletic but slutty girl in Total Recall.
Total Recall. That was her. Total Recall chick. Yeah.
Is she Val, the chick from... Aliens 2 or Aliens?
No.
She's not. That's not the same girl?
No.
Oh, okay. I got confused. But she is from Total Recall.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew I recognized her from somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, this cast is freaking banger.
Athletic.
The movie is so stupid.
So dumb.
This is like one of the stupidest movies I've ever seen. And I saw this in the theater when it first came out.
How dare you, sir.
It was gloriously stupid.
Both things that you guys said are true.
Yeah.
It's glorious. And it's stupid.
Yeah. Totally glad. Yeah.
What's funny is that so Jude and I watched it while we were visiting my family over in Maryland, and just out of the blue, my mom comes by and she says, "Oh, y'all watching Con Air?" We're like, "Yeah," and she's like, "I must have seen this movie 65 times."
What?
Uh-huh.
Your mom?
Man, my mom.
Oh my gosh!
She's got a real thing for Nick Cage.
And I was like, "Mom, do you like this movie?" She's like, "No, it's just on TV a lot."
That's it's so hilarious. Fun. It's so fun and dumb. Yeah. And you're just like, whatever, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun with it. And it ends up in Vegas. So I get to.
That was Vegas?
I love Vegas. Because I'm like.
Movie Vegas is
that
weird.
That shit isn't next to each other.
Vegas is the interpretation of what somebody who's never been to Vegas thinks Vegas is.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Which is odd because they shot it here in Vegas.
Yeah. Did they really?
It's like, yeah. We can't go straight to the ending, right? We can't. Let's talk about
that. We got to do the synopsis first.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Jude, take it away. What is Con Air all about?
1997, Con Air, rated R with a runtime of 1 hour 55 minutes. This had a budget of $75 million.
That's not bad.
What do you think this brought into the box office?
Box office? I'm going to say, I don't know, 80. Barely 80.
Okay.
Barely made money.
All right.
I have no idea.
But it made a shit ton of money in syndication.
It either bombed or it made a shit ton.
I think it made.
And you said it broke even.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it made money.
I'm going to say it made. I'm going to say it was a success. I'm going to go $150 million.
That would be a sequel if it made that much money. Go ahead.
Had a budget of $75 million with a box office of $224 million.
Nice. $200 million.
That's
where's
pretty,
the sequel?
Well.
There's a reason they didn't make a sequel.
Oh, breaks the heart.
They killed everybody.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Nick Cage.
Nick Cage
is hitching a ride to his hummingbird. He's being paroled after 8 years, and instead of his wife buying him a plane ticket, he catches the death row plane rogue just after takeoff. When the plane gets Malkoviched, the only thing standing between the guards and the worst of the worst is the man who took his face off. Meanwhile, on the ground, John Cusack and Cole Meany try to locate the plane while being incapable of working together, and poor Dave Chappelle isn't in this movie for very long. Discuss.
Oh man.
So did you guys know that Con Air is like a real thing that the Marshals do?
Well, it has to be.
Yeah
it totally makes sense.
Transport people. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, the LA Times did an article on the real Con Air, and the screenwriter for this read the article, and he was like, "You know what? I think I could turn that into a screenplay.
I can make that into a movie."
I love how this movie.
I bet that'll be a good Nick Cage movie.
I haven't seen this movie for years.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
A long time. Yeah. And I'd kind of forgotten most of it, to be honest. But one thing that really stood out to me was how they just get you right into it in the first 15 minutes.
Oh, they don't take no time
at
all.
It's like he gets home. Mm-hmm. He's
Rambo. And comes home from the war.
He gets fucked with at the bar.
Yep.
Goes to jail.
They make an example out of
him. That dude had a knife. What jury is going to be like, nope, not self-defense? Like, what?
But my favorite part of the beginning
is the
5-minute, 8-year-long montage of my dears.
Oh, my God, yes. The voiceover.
I've been here 8 years. I can't believe it's finally time to come
home. Dear Daddy, it's been 8 years since I've been born.
Dear Hummingbird.
I haven't met my daddy in 8 years.
It's my birthday was on July 14th. I'm going to meet my daddy on July 14th.
I know this is a really shitty, really terrible place to be, but for some reason, I just can't help but be happy that you're having a good life with your mother. Meanwhile, the place is burning down around him, and he's just like being model citizen, rolling over it.
And his soulmate is Baby O, who's also Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Dude, they should have just had Forrest Gump be the character from this movie. I found myself in a cell with Bubba.
His hair gets getting longer and longer.
He's doing pull-ups.
Yeah.
I decided I just needed to start working out.
This is somebody who got fried shrimp.
And doing origami.
Grilled shrimp.
Some of the other inmates were really mean.
Gonna make some shrimp down at the commissary today.
I'm really good at that voice.
That's my favorite thing you've ever done.
Why am I so good at it?
I don't know.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
So you guys know how Nicolas Cage is very much a method actor. Like, he really gets into his stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He went super white trash.
Did he go to jail for 6 months to prepare for this role? Or
close.
He only wore wife beaters for like 3 years prior.
He went to Alabama for a month to work on his accent.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, God. Great job, sir.
And this is what he got.
Yeah. He didn't do it well. His accent is one of the worst accents I think I've ever heard in a movie.
It's so stereotypically bad. It's hilarious. But what more than just the accent is the one-liners in this movie that crack me up every time. Every time they like zoom in to Nicolas Cage's face and he says some ridiculous one-liner.
What's wrong with him?
My first thought would be a lot.
And he's so deadpan.
That was a very
You got it.
Like Keanu Reeves thing just did.
Sorry.
You have really got the Nick Cage Southern boy acting. That's really funny.
You just gotta, it's like,
oh my God.
I'm
kind of retarded.
You don't, I don't treat women like that. Yeah.
What do you think I'm gonna do? I'm gonna save the fucking day.
Like, what?
This ain't happening. Oh, I'm not gonna lie.
Don't you worry about it. I'll get you your insulin.
Oh my God. You are channeling him right now.
Also, that this movie doesn't know how diabetes works.
Diabetes. Wilford Brimley would have made one of a great
guard.
Oh my God.
He could have been one of the convicts.
I just think it's funny that Baby O, the entire movie, it's like if he doesn't get his insulin, he's like slowly shutting down. I'm like, I'm sitting there because I have diabetes, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works at all.
If I don't get
my shot in 2 hours, I'm gonna die.
No. If you're that far along, like you ain't walking around or like doing anything.
You're not saving guards from rape.
No. It was funny because like he's like, oh man, I missed my shot before dinner last night. He's like, what did you eat? Like a bowl of sugar for dinner? Is that why you so desperately need your insulin?
This movie doesn't know how anything works. I mean, they pull the airplane out of a hole with manpower and some ropes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't know. The transponder. Yeah, they just rip it out and they put it in another plane and it's fine. It's just none of this movie just doesn't make any sense.
But here's the question, though. Does it have to make sense?
No.
It
doesn't.
I'm entertained.
It's fantastic.
Listen, man, it had Dave Chappelle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it did.
Barfing up a vial of gas, so he could shoot it.
And he looks at the guy and he's like, "I hope you don't hold grudges.
This is gonna hurt, motherfucker!" And lights him on fire. Just don't hold it against me.
A fun fact about this movie is that everyone who worked on it, I think with the exception of Nicolas Cage, hated the movie. And the reason they hated it was because the script was being rewritten every day. Oh, so like they never knew what was happening.
Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle just never bothered with the script. So he just ad-libbed everything he did in the movie.
Perfect.
That's probably better off.
But John Malkovich hated this movie. And the only reason he agreed to do it was because they were paying him a shit ton of money. Same thing with John Cusack. John Cusack was like...
John Cusack hates every movie he's ever been in.
Well, but he specifically did this movie so that not only could he get a payday, but also so that he could get a little bit of clout to do some passion projects that he wanted to do. Mm. So everyone who was in this movie didn't actually want to be in the movie, which I thought was interesting.
Well, they pull it off. I mean, John Cusack's character going up against Cole Meany was... That was fun. Like just just the two of them just hating each other.
Well, there was like a whole subplot that was cut out of this movie where Cole Meany's character, like it goes into like his friendship with the undercover DEA agent. And the reason that he's like so gung-ho about shooting that plane down after he finds out that the guy's dead is because like they were like almost like brothers, you know, like so he had like a deep relationship with this guy, which is one of the reasons why he slips
the revenge.
Where he slips the gun into his like sock before he gets on the plane because he wants him to be able to protect himself. But the entire movie without that subplot added, like Cole Meany just seems like a complete dickhead asshole. Idiot.
But it worked. I mean, that was fine with me. I mean, there's people like that out there. I believe it.
Did you notice on his keychain he had a little like Star Trek symbol?
I didn't notice that.
That's cool though.
That is super cool. I love what they did to the car. That was great. Yeah. That was a great ending to that car. They were just like, fuck that car. And Cole Meany's like, that's not my car. I left it back at the office. And it's like flying away.
Yeah.
Glorious.
I have a car just like that.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with Nick Cage in this movie. I don't understand it. Like, he's normally...
We can talk about one thing at a time.
I know. He's normally very... like on and like wild, and he's doing the Nick Cage thing, and this, and he's just like,
well, he was trying to, you know,
do the Southern thing,
be a little morally. I was surprised at how much Nick Cage wasn't in this movie. He's not in this movie a lot to be the number one main actor. I almost feel like.
Who else?
Like Cyrus the Virus got more airtime almost, or Malkovich, or Cole Meany. It feels that way that they were in this movie more than Nick Cage was, because you know there's some parts of the movie where they'll probably go 10 minutes and you don't see.
Well, Interesting is that Nick Cage had like a lot of like input into the script for this film. Mm-hmm. So like, he was the one who decided that his character was going to be a former Special Forces like you know guy because he was like. You know, I need a justification for how I kick ass in this movie. So, like, I'm just going to make him former Special Forces. He also changed the guard that they were holding captive to a woman. That was his call because he was like, you know, like, we need to have, like, something more here.
Smart.
The threat of rape.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense to have, like, a woman prison guard.
I don't think there would, in the real world, I don't think that would have happened.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have put a woman female guard on a plane full of
certainly made
male psycho killers.
Danny Trejo look a lot more scary though.
Yeah. Right?
What was his name? Johnny 23.
I'm gonna be Johnny 24 by the end of this flight.
Oh. Yeah. Ugh.
Well, yeah. What's crazy is Danny Trejo, you know, he's a former convict.
Yeah.
And so he was the unofficial like prison
technical advisor.
Technical advisor, exactly, for like how inmates act and stuff like that.
And now he just makes donuts.
And tacos.
Yeah.
I want some Danny Trejo tacos.
I do too. You on a machete.
That's awesome. I'll take it. I want to talk about one moment in this movie which I still to this day wish they would have cut out because it just freaks me out. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have anything to do with anything else.
Is it all of Steve Buscemi's character?
All of Steve Buscemi. Why is he in this movie?
It's really weird.
And then he gets away.
Why
in the end?
Is he creepy?
And the movie wants you to root for him.
What did he do to that girl?
Nothing.
At the freaking junkyard.
They just hung out. And it was there.
So therefore, he's cured. And that's why the movie wants you to root for him because he's cured.
Why?
The girl was waving to the plane when they took off from the airport.
Yeah. I mean, half that part, I'm like, is he hallucinating right now?
It was a little weird.
It's super creepy.
He's got the whole world.
And I was just like, I'm like, when they were sitting in the empty pool in the junkyard, first of all, I'm like,
why is the girl there to begin with?
Why is she there?
She's a junkyard kid.
So
it wasn't a junkyard. It was a trailer park.
Is she the daughter of the dude that got murdered in the
I'm thinking she's either that dude's daughter or the granddaughter of the dude who was hiding under the truck with Nick Cage. Remember that moment?
Did you guys not notice like all the trailers in that trailer park? She was just a member of the trailer park community. There was no
trailer park community though. They were just, it was a junkyard. It was a it was an airplane depot. It was a place where you go to store all this shit for it to die.
No, the junkyard was past like the barbed wire fence and stuff like that where Steve Buscemi kind of like walked away from the junkyard and went to the nearby like hotel/trailer park area.
Can we talk about the geography of this map real quick? So there's the plane yard.
I don't think we should.
There's the landing strip and the plane junkyard where the cops get blown up with rocket launchers. And then.
But you guys know these places do exist out here. Right?
The random airfields.
There are airplane graveyards out here. Then they have to have a landing field attached to it.
Sure, yeah.
Because you have to bring these planes in to park them so they can sit there and rot.
For their death.
They are out there. I think they're close. They're over more on the California side, but they do exist.
There's a huge airplane junkyard out there. Maybe that's where they filmed it. Could be. But yeah, I was super creeped out by the whole thing with Steve Buscemi, and honestly, he had nothing to do with this movie. I just cut the whole thing out.
It does feel like they cut a lot of whatever was supposed to be involved with him out. It's like, hey, we want a Hannibal Lecter, Jeffrey Dahmer type character on the plane.
Sure.
And but we want to make him likable.
Steve Buscemi, he's weird.
Yeah,
he's a weirdo.
Who's a weird guy? He's got bad teeth and big eyes.
Jeffrey Dahmer, but like an underdog.
Yeah. We root for him.
It's just a really bad decision to have him in this movie. Why? He added nothing to it except for a little bit of runtime because you have to have those weird things where he's singing.
It's just the rules of nature. Like if you have a Steve Buscemi in your movie, you accept a Steve Buscemi in your movie.
They're like, oh, would you like a side of Steve Buscemi in this movie?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. It's like fries. You're not going to be like, I don't want fries.
You can say that comes with fries.
Would you like fries? Yes, I would.
That's the problem I have with this whole movie, though, is that what you guys are saying about Steve Buscemi, you can say about every single character. Would you like a little bit of Ving Rhames?
Would you like
a little bit of Dave Chappelle?
You want to share some Ving Rhames?
Yeah, we'll take
some Ving Rhames.
You want some Danny Trejo?
Oh, absolutely. I love Danny Trejo.
Okay, cool.
How about some John Cusack?
John Cusack's great.
It's a buffet. All right, cool. Five minutes of this.
They all had like 8 minutes of airtime
in
this 2-hour-long movie.
Yeah.
Including the main character of the movie. And it was like a smorgasbord of A-list action actors that were from that era of Hollywood.
This is just a movie of appetizers.
It's a love boat.
Yes, it's a tapas party on your screen.
It's a charcuterie board of movies.
That's exactly what it is. It's a charcuterie of cool actors from HBO shows.
Sure.
That was, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, there's pickles on this tray.
Is that goat cheese?
Is that Sonny? What's the Indian dude's name? Sonny something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was that the guy that was in Terminator or Predator? Same guy?
It might have been.
I'm looking it up right now.
Do you know?
No, not him. Okay. Not the same tough Indian dude.
Super racist of you to say.
I'm joking. So Native American. Sorry.
So this movie was the first Jerry Bruckheimer production after he broke up with his longtime producing partner, Don Simpson, who passed away right before this movie started filming. And, you know, these are the guys, they were the first era of super producers in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. They did like Top Gun and like a bunch of other stuff. And when this movie was being developed with Don Simpson involved, he was like, yeah, can we crash the plane into the White House and have like hookers and blow and stuff like that? And so Jerry Bruckheimer, you know, as his first solo outing as a producer, he wanted to really make a splash, which is one of the reasons why they have such a stellar cast involved in this, is because he was willing to shell out the money to get them involved. And they had just finished The Rock. And so like he went to Nicolas Cage during the filming of that. And he was like, hey, we got this thing called Con Air. Here's the script. And Nicolas Cage read the script and he's like, yeah, this is really bad, but I'm going to do it anyway because you're going to pay me $20 million.
Yeah.
Is that what he made?
Yeah. And
in 1997?
Yeah.
Wow, that's holy shit. That's really good.
Yeah, and John Malkovich was kind of like in the same boat where like he read the script and he's like, this is a piece of garbage. And Jerry Bruckheimer remembers like, how would you like tens of millions of dollars? And he's like, okay.
So what they actually spent on this movie was about $15 million.
Yeah. Like the director of this movie, Simon West, when I was going through film school, he was kind of like the butt of a lot of jokes because he's like a terrible director. But he gets like a lot of hype in the early 90s because he did a couple music videos. He also did a movie called Bulletproof Monk and stuff like that.
I remember that movie.
I remember that movie too.
Yeah. And so like this was like, you know, his big action film. And like this is the only film I think anyone really knows of his because like he hasn't really gone on to do anything because he's, again, a terrible director. I went and saw this in the theater because I was like, I can't pass up a Simon West movie. And I remember sitting in the theater watching this film and just being like, why am I watching this film? This
because is it's so amazing.
Bad. It's so bad.
It's really bad.
Even as we were rewatching it together, I was just like, oh, this
is you so weren't bad. Enjoying it. It was wasted on you.
Well, you passed out.
I was very drunk.
You were in and out of consciousness throughout most of the movie.
Another person I want to talk about that's in this movie that was bothering me so much because I was like, I know her from somewhere. The blonde agent on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what she's from?
Everything
she's
from the 90s.
Linda from The Wedding Singer.
Yes.
Linda, a bitch.
Oh, my God.
Looks so different.
With the short hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at her, and I'm like, I've seen her in a ton of things.
I woke up this morning, and I realized I'm about to marry a wedding singer.
Information that would have been useful to me yesterday.
Sorry, I don't ever want to marry you.
Here we go.
We need to review that movie. Yeah.
Shut up, glorious. Tony. I can hear you guys. Bitches.
Should we talk about the Vegas thing already? So that they go through the motions.
We're there already.
I mean, I don't know what else. The movie's it's a nothing movie.
I don't want to talk about the giant so action fun, set piece at the plane graveyard. Are we there?
I mean, we blew up half the graveyard. We saw the creepy girl with the creepy guy.
The creepy girl. I want to play.
Like
now, I want to play with you.
They pull a giant airplane out of a hole with nothing but manpower and an old John Deere tractor.
What more do you need?
The funny part is where like John Cusack's trying to tell Cole Meany and his boss, "Hey, they're at a different airfield."
Yeah,
and Cole Meany is just like, no, keep tracking that transponder. They're in like three attack helicopters, chasing down Apaches.
Apaches.
Yeah. Chasing down like a air tour.
Just this like little
biplane.
tour guide.
And at no point does it occur to them that like maybe send one of those helicopters.
Let's do a little reconnaissance. And then, shoot them down.
And then like John Cusack tries to commandeer a plane. Oh. And then, and they're like, sorry, bub, you can't take one of our planes, but you might be able to make it there by car.
That was so
dumb,
ridiculous,
dumb.
It's like, so you need to go to this after this plane. It's got a half hour head start on you, and you're gonna jump. And I don't give a shit what kind of car it is. He gets in the Corvette and he beats them to the airfield. How is that possible? He beat them.
It's not.
He
also
beat them to the
that
airfield.
Car was very fast. It was the ass kicker.
It's
that's right. It's, the license plate.
So I immediately got annoyed when I was watching this movie. And I told the story to my wife. I go, did Cusack just beat the plane to the airfield when the plane had a 30-minute head start?
Yeah.
And they were just going over.
Also, the Apache helicopter went to the Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon.
In Arizona, turned around and flew back to and landed. Dude,
this whole movie has geography issues. Okay.
Oh, wait until we get to Vegas.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We're 15 minutes ripping this whole thing apart.
Oh, yeah.
The Hard Rock is right next to Circus.
Oh. Well, what's weird is like, so there's a scene where they drop Dave Chappelle's body out of
like in LA or something.
Place.
Oh, that
was
great.
And he lands right in the middle of like a bustling metropolis of a city.
Yeah, like New York City
some
shit.
But in the scenes right before and after, they're in like the desolate part of Nevada, like close to Reno, where there's just like nothing.
They were like over the bustling metropolis of Victorville or Barstow.
And Jude pointed out that the couple whose car that Dave Chappelle landed on would have been dead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Dead. 100%.
Yeah.
And not only did the car land, he landed on top of the car, But they got hit by like all four directions by other vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah. It caused the pilot.
Yeah.
Also, that actor who played the guy who was driving that car. Stargate.
General Hammond.
General Hammond from Stargate.
He was also in Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Okay. Geography.
Okay.
Wow.
Nobody knows how a map works in this movie.
No, none.
Not a single person.
And there are multiple scenes where like they have maps laid out and they're talking and about
apparently we go through wormholes and stuff.
Yes, the Bermuda Triangle right above Nevada.
Of the desert. Yeah.
Nonsense. Okay, Vegas. So they okay. So let's see if we can map this out, right? Let's put a fake map.
I wish we had it on the screen so that we can
get a map.
That would be
tear it apart.
Let's follow the Indiana Jones red line through the map.
It doesn't exist.
So they go from where would the plane take off from?
Some mythical airfield in the desert.
It was in the desert?
Oh, originally?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Because they took off and then they land in Reno in a dust storm.
There is a maximum security. No, it's medium security up by Nellis.
By Prim.
I thought it was Stockton.
Nellis
or
Prim?
Nellis. There's a medium security.
Okay.
That's where OJ was.
Okay. There's a maximum security out there by Prim in the middle of the desert.
That's
okay.
That's a few.
That's
let's go with that.
Let's assume that.
Okay. It's in Prim, right on the border of California and Nevada. They go to Reno. and they land in a dust storm. That's north. That's 8 hours north.
Yeah.
Oh, R2 is saying Carson City.
Carson City.
That's right. Okay. Yes. Okay. So they took off from Carson City?
No, they landed in Carson City.
And okay. And then they go back. Okay. Then the cons take over the airplane and then they fly south.
No, the cons already had taken over the airplane.
Like as soon as it took off.
Yeah. But as soon as it took off, they took over.
Dave Chappelle's puking up his butane.
In Carson City. And then they leave Carson City to go south of the border. Because the cartel is going to get them.
But they have to switch planes.
To Paradise, but they have to switch planes in mythical nowhere, California?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going north.
A place that exists.
We're going back south. And then for some reason they chased down the transponder to.
What?
The Grand Canyon.
I have a transponder
question.
At no point do they need to. Oh, wait. They do refuel.
Well.
Don't they? Yeah. No, they don't.
Not really.
No, they don't.
I got a question. We're asking way too many questions. The transponder.
You're ruining the movie.
They go through this whole thing with the transponder, right?
Yeah.
Where the con pilot that looks like Jaws' little brother.
Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Played by MC Gainey.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. But
cool guy.
He goes in there and does the thing with the transponder, and then Dave Chappelle has to go hide it in the tourist plane.
Right, yeah.
Right. Why didn't they just take off? And him yank the transponder out and dump it out the window when
somebody would have seen it and known what they were
up
to.
But once the transponder's not on the plane, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they don't know where it is. They wanted to lead him down
they could have shot it down, probably.
Empty goose chase.
Who wrote this piece of shit? I'm getting upset.
Well, I don't know. Who wrote this piece of shit?
I forget his name.
He didn't even bother to do those research this week.
Honestly, the screenwriter, I'm terrible with names, but the screenwriter quit this movie like 14 times.
Yeah.
And he kept like coming back because like the script was such a mess and they were having to do rewrites every day, which is one of the reasons why it never got a sequel, because everyone who worked on this movie hated working on this movie.
Yeah.
Because
it
was just a mess.
Written by Scott Rosenberg.
I give Matt a hard time a lot about. Quit overthinking things. Just enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
God damn it, Matt. Quit being so critical. But, you know, for this kind of a movie, this is one of those movies that it gets so ridiculous that it's hard not to start being overcritical about stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah.
Like diabetes.
Diabetes.
Diabetes. I can't wait to release the reins on you with Vegas. So
okay, you want to get there?
Have at
yeah,
it,
let's
sir.
Get there.
They take the plane.
Okay, so flying into Vegas. Oh shit, we're out of fuel, right? Or something.
One of the engines got shot down something.
By the attack helicopter.
It was one of the engines had failed and they were low on fuel.
Yeah.
So we're flying. And it's like, oh my God, we're not going to make it to the airport.
Which is McCarran.
And then they turn and they fly and they cut the hard rock guitar in half. That's the first thing they do.
Which is on like what, Tropicana?
Which is literally the end of the fucking
airport. Or Flamingo.
It's at the end. Literally the end.
No, I know. Yeah, it's right next to the airport.
Side airport. It's right next to the airport.
Well, what's funny is there are like three airports right by the strip.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That they could have landed at.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they turn And somehow they're on top of Fremont Street, which is the complete polar opposite and 5 miles away from the Hard Rock, which is not there anymore. And
it's virgin now.
And then
yeah, sure it is.
Eventually they end up crashing on the strip into the Sahara.
Yeah.
Which is somehow magically right next to the
Treasure Island.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing.
Not a thing.
No.
I don't even know how they did it.
It's very separate.
It's very strange. It's very strange. They have a high speed chase on a fucking fire truck.
In a tunnel that is 75 miles long.
It's underneath the airport. It's underneath the airport.
That's the Elon Musk tunnel.
It's the only tunnel in town.
It's
literally underneath the airport that they should have landed on to begin with.
And is that the tunnel that they're referencing?
That's the tunnel that they're in. You can tell by the paneling and stuff and how it's shaped.
It's 45 miles long.
And it's in the movie, it's 45 miles long.
Yeah.
Yes. And they come out right in the middle of Fremont Street when they come in on the other end, which is 10 miles away.
The opposite direction.
Opposite direction they were going.
Yeah.
And for some reason, in all these bullshit movies, they always end up in front of the fucking plaza.
Yeah.
It's cheaper to
because
film
they
there.
Have the fancy lights everywhere. It's yeah. just
oh, everybody knows what that is. That's
they
Vegas,
did, they, and they do this in they did this in what's the Bradley Cooper, you know, Tooth Mike Tyson Tiger shit. What
Hangover?
The Hangover. They did that in all the Hangover movies. They don't know. People make movies in this town. They don't know. They just jumble it all together.
Everyone
and they
who
don't
doesn't
know
live here doesn't know
because
it's infuriating.
People who don't live here, Vegas is this big.
Yeah.
You know what it's my wild. Pet peeve with movies is that really infuriates me is when anyone in a movie walks into a bar and says, "Give me a beer." What fucking kind?
Yeah.
Did they do that in this movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. That's my pet peeve.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
But it was funny because when we were watching the movie, I was sitting there and
wrong.
The first couple of times I've seen this film, like I what was not a Vegas local. I had not lived here. So like nothing seemed off to me. But as I was watching it again, I was like, oof. They're teleporting all over the place.
Yeah, that's not next to each other.
And then at the end, with Cyrus the Virus, John Malkovich's character, he gets thrown off into a
compacting like industrial smasher with a belt. I'm like, what is that?
And where did that come
why
from?
Is it on Fremont Street? What is happening?
It's the compactor on Fremont Street.
Sure, just a junkyard with a compactor.
You know
there.
It.
Well, I mean, with all the construction that goes on in Vegas, it's not that far-fetched.
True.
But, you know, didn't he, he was on a ladder that, hit a overhang?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and
he died
went
12
flying.
Times.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have been dead, long before, that moment.
He should have been dead in the 80-mile-long
I was having fun talking about this movie until now.
Oh, no.
And now I'm like, you know what? I don't like this movie anymore. It's so stupid.
This movie is still so good. Only because of Nick Cage's hair.
And the southern accent.
Also, the entire time we were watching it, Jude was just like, Sweet Home Alabama. Sweet Home Alabama.
Mobile Alabama. Gosh, I'm sure people in Mobile Alabama are like, stop.
Oh, man, quit playing this movie.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk like that. This movie's not good. It's gloriously bad. It's fun.
Yeah.
I'll watch it every time it's on.
Is it a so bad it's good movie?
I think it might be.
Of course.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Danny Trejo gets his arm ripped off. random things happening, characters that I don't know their names are getting killed, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
And Steve Buscemi.
And Steve Buscemi's in
gets
it.
Gets to play craps at the end
and
walks away.
It is a charcuterie board of actors in a ridiculous movie.
Ving Rhames stealing those sunglasses and walking around all cool.
Sure. Yeah. He's like, this is my... Whose sunglasses were they?
They were the little twink dude.
The twink dude?
Yeah.
He was in this movie too.
Yeah, he was.
I forgot about him.
Something can't. Sally Can't Dance.
Sure.
I think that was his name.
That's a weird name.
And,
okay.
And this was 2 years after Pulp Fiction.
Was it?
I don't know. Pulp Fiction was 95.
Oh,
this
one
was 97.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay.
These guys all just wanted the paycheck.
John Travolta should have been in this movie.
You know, we would have made a business. This should have been a. I can't talk. I'm not even drinking. Put Van Damme in a.
Sure.
As
a prisoner or a guard?
In Nick Cage's role.
No.
Yeah.
No. Nick Cage needs to be Nick Cage. But you could have had Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He could get his long hair back. Get his wife beater.
The greasy long hair.
Make it a sequel to that
Hard
one.
Target?
Yeah, with the one that had Wilford Brimley in it.
Yeah, Hard Target.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Wait, was that Hard Target?
Yeah, that was
Double Impact.
No, that was Hard Target.
Hard Target,
We'll just tweak it out a little bit, and we'll just make it a sequel.
That's not a bad idea.
you know, the best thing to come from this movie are all the Nicolas Cage memes of him, like, basking in the breeze of freedom.
I literally used it to advertise this Twitter Spaces that we're on right now.
Yeah.
I was like, come watch us talk about Nick Cage. And his long hair.
As bad as his accent is, his long hair is even worse.
Oh,
it's so gross.
It's the best thing about the movie.
And the crazy thing is like, so this movie went over schedule, and it bumped up against like his filming of Face Off, which so he was basically filming this one and Face Off concurrently. So like at a certain point, he had to wear a wig.
This is pre-tax problem.
Yeah.
This is prime Nick Cage.
Prime time Nicolas Cage.
So you were saying earlier about how, like, he's so not Nick Cage in this because he gave all of it to Face Off.
Mm-hmm. He did. He overacted the hell out of Face Off.
We need to watch that movie.
Have we not yet?
We haven't.
We haven't watched
a John Woo movie.
Bro.
Is there doves in it?
Yeah, there are lots of doves.
And there's magnetic boots from the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, well, that's definitely in our
They're game. In there, too.
We need to do it.
God, that movie's ridiculous. All right.
I love peaches. I could eat a peach.
When we set September up, we'll watch it in September.
You guys want to come over and watch it tonight?
Are we scheduling all of it? Jesus Christ. Hey, man.
August Bites. We got through
August Bites. Yeah, we got 4 weeks of August Bites to get through. Yeah, September's the next open month.
It's going to be like 2027 pretty soon.
I like how we're like scheduled 3 months out.
I know. That's great.
You're probably like, oh, yes. 2020.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, guys, how come your channel's not growing very fast? Because we don't talk about anything that needs to be trending.
Well, no, we do.
Because we map it out months in advance.
But we do that on our live streams. We do talk about new things. It's just it's hard to schedule things to talk about. But, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Should have been a Van Damme movie.
Could see a Hard Target sequel.
Could see it.
Because his character was kind of shady in that movie, right? He could have been a jailbait guy.
Did you guys see it last year when Aaron Rodgers showed up to football camp and he looked exactly like Nick Cage and Con Air?
No.
Look it up. Swear to God. It was so funny.
You mentioned
that every time we review a Nick Cage movie.
but this is the one that that sparked it.
Did he do it on purpose?
I don't know.
No, he just had long hair and a wife beater.
Yeah.
That's Nick Cage's iconic look, I guess. I don't know.
Hummingbird. I can't wait to get home to you and Casey.
She just needs to understand.
there's that weird running joke about like the toy bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Put the bunny back in the box.
Why couldn't you just put the bunny
back
in
the box? Oh my God.
But then Malkovich holds the bunny hostage at one point.
Freeze and the bunny gets in it.
Good times.
If I edit this episode, I'm going to end it on Nick Cage saying, "Put the bunny back in the box."
Con Air, everybody.
That's it. I can't talk about it anymore.
I could watch it again tonight.
I could. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah,
I hate it. It's a terrible movie.
It's cinematic Chinese food. Empty calories.
Like, I'd watch it again.
You watch it, and then you're still hungry.
For one more cheese cube.
It's like, well, you eat a lot of it, and you feel gross. But then you want more 30 minutes
I'll
later.
I'll never say no to a good charcuterie board.
That's exactly what this is.
It's a
charcuterie board of nonsense.
How do you say it?
Charcuterie?
Shark.
Charcuterie.
Yeah. I say it like shark because I like sharks.
That's how I say it.
Charcuterie?
Charcuterie?
I don't know if it's pronounced like that or not.
Charcuterie.
Charcuterie?
I don't know.
Couterie.
It's French.
The kids are calling them shark coochies.
That's weird.
This is a shark coochie of a movie.
I'm going to make a shark coochie.
Put bunny back in a box. Yeah. I can't even do it.
I didn't make that up.
Shark. What's a shark coochie?
Shark
coochie.
No. True. I did not make that up.
You'll never look at a charcuterie plate the same way
again. You're never going to look at a shark's coochie again either.
I don't know if I've ever seen a shark's coochie before.
All right, we're officially derailed. Thank you for watching the episode. Con Air. What did you think about this movie? Give it a rating real quick, V. What do you got? What do you got? Come on, man. Give me something good. Give me something funny. What do you got?
You're too much pressure. two bunnies.
Two bunnies in the box?
I give it two bunnies in a box.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. Jude, how about you?
I give this 4 Steve Buscemi's.
Okay.
You should have said four shark coochies.
That was going to be mine.
I was leaving it for you guys. I've had shark coochie.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 5.
What do you got? So I checked my letterbox.
Oh, my God. Thing, of course. Yeah.
And I've been very consistent every time I watch this movie. 1.5 stars.
Wow.
So this is not a good movie.
I might have given it 1.5 on Letterboxd. I'd have to go look.
I don't use Letterboxd because I'm not a dork. One. No, two.
Dare you.
2 shark coochies out of 5.
I'll do research because that's fucking queer. I don't want something gay or nothing.
Wow.
But
I use Letterboxd.
I use Letterboxd and I do research.
Jesus.
You know, if that was a great Alex impression, actually.
If I had said that, she would have given me the look.
I know.
I don't want to be queer or nothing.
Because when you say it, you mean it. When I say it, it's ridiculous. Okay. Everyone in the room knows it's ridiculous.
You quit being so gay, okay?
Almost, I'm queer nothing, but I'm kind of fucking gay.
Be gay.
I think unicorns are cool.
I don't want to sound gay or nothing, but I use Letterboxd. I can't talk.
This is real. I don't want to sound gay or nothing, but I order unicorn blood and Dutch Brothers. It's a real drink. Unicorn blood.
All right.
We're getting hammered in our flat.
Voldemort right used to drink unicorn blood.
I'm just going to fade out. There's no way to end it.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?